You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Everybody, how are you? So one of my mentors and professors in school said, when something's different on a Sunday morning, pointed out first, yes, I have a Band-Aid on my face, so let's get that out of the way. It was the tough man contest in town last night, and you should see the other person. So I'm fine. Everything's fine. So now we got that out of the way, and I don't have to answer everybody's questions afterwards. So appreciate you letting me do that. If you are watching from home, I hope you are doing great. We are going to start a new teaching series today called Power Surge, and I'd love for us to share the scripture together out of Luke chapter 9. Let's go ahead and read it with some chutzpah. Here we go. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Well, I don't know about you, but I woke up feeling pretty dangerous today because we have moved past seven deadly sins. We have figured out, yes, it's okay to be a square peg in a round hole kind of world. And now it's really the season to thrive. An opportunity to thrive physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. We all want to have that moment in our lives, yes? Those seasons, they come and they go, these moments of thriving where we go, yes, everything feels, experience, thinks, the whole deal, it's working. Our life is just clicking. Our life in Christ feels great. We're growing. They're power surge kind of moments. And they usually come on the other side of risk or cost or sacrifice, or out of spiritual brokenness comes spiritual breakthrough. And I think the ministry of Jesus had to feel a lot like that, this power surge that started in Galilee. You had this group of guys who were the least likely candidates, and Jesus came to them and said, "Follow me." And I don't think they could have ever imagined their life would be what it turned out to be in the end. They would have been the last picked. And this rabbi, this obscure rabbi from Nazareth, says, "Follow me." And they begin to follow him everywhere that he goes. In this power surge of people being healed and demons being cast out and good news being preached to the least and the last and the lost and the poor and the broken, it started in Galilee. And it grew to Jerusalem. And then it went to Judea and Samaria, and it went to the ends of the earth, and that power surge is still happening through the church today. Do you believe this? Awesome. Maybe that's part of the issue. Yeah, power surges happen when people follow Jesusly, unashamedly, and passionately. That's why you're here this morning. There was a pastor 46 years ago who decided to plant a church in Lexington with the vision of bringing the hope, healing, and wholeness of Christ to other people. And there were a group of missionaries who went, they decided to go with this pastor on the journey. And you're here this morning because of it. And we gather, we worship, we learn, we grow, and then we go out into the world and we bring the hope, healing, and wholeness of Jesus Christ. We follow him unashamedly and passionately, and bring it to the community and to the world around us. That's what we're called to do. That's why we're here. Some of my best friends have experienced this in their lives. They decided to adopt. They had two boys, and they decided to adopt a little girl from China. And my buddy, you know, Fortune 250 executive, lots of good things going on in their lives, but he and his wife, they decided, hey, we're going to go to China, we're going to adopt this beautiful little girl. And she changed their lives. She changed their lives. In fact, so much so that they decided to leave the Fortune 250 job and leave everything they know and go to China and become missionaries. And after they did that, they decided, well, you know what? Just because we're leaving China in the mission field doesn't mean that we stop being missionaries. We're going to be missionaries here in the United States, and we're going to go and help Christian organizations, and we're going to go and invite other missionaries into our home and care for them while they're on furlough or leave. They're still on a mission. Or I think about another friend of mine who decided and had a power surge in his life. How do we gather a group of guys together and offer opportunity for support and encouragement and prayer and accountability, and to do it through something as simple as the game of golf? And so 40 to 50 guys meet every Wednesday to play golf with each other and to experience fellowship in Christ and to encourage one another. And they've all felt a power surge at one time or another in being with each other. That's what the power surge does. God builds something into our lives. And we tend to think that these power surges come from nowhere, but nothing could be further from the truth. It actually starts with a simple word that's two letters. The word is go. Say it with me, go. Go. And I love what this passage says. It says, as they were going along the road. And when we start off the passage hearing as they were going along the road, we don't think, bam, boy, that's exciting. I mean, it sounds like nothing. Okay, they're going along the road. So what? The thing is, though, this isn't anybody going along the road. This is Jesus going along the road. And when Jesus is going somewhere, there's a purpose. There's a destination. There's a reason. God's up to something. They're going somewhere. And the disciples went all kinds of places with Jesus. Yes, Judea and Samaria and Jericho and Jerusalem. Jesus' mission, Jesus' going, was always going to one place, Jerusalem, to a cross and an empty tomb. That was the mission of his life. He was going. And I wonder sometimes if we miss that. See, we tend to think that our goings every day are very random, right? I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go to my kid's soccer game. I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'm going to go and get my car washed. I'm going to go hang out with friends. We think that it's random, but they're really not. They're divine moments along the road that God's using to fulfill his purposes in your life. See, God's road was always going somewhere. And if you believe in a God who is shaping and at work in your life, then what I want you to recognize is this. Your daily occurrences, your daily goings are not random acts of free will. Sure, we have free will. You can't have love without free will. And you're going, God knows where you're going, and the places that you're going, and the people that you're going to, these are divinely orchestrated moments that God wants to use you, and God wants to build something into your life. Do you believe this? Man, that's so underwhelming. See, and I think that's the issue. I'm not sure we really believe it. Oh, you know, like I'm here. When you go to work tomorrow, is this just about a paycheck? Well, I don't go anywhere, Brian. I work from home. Good for you. When you go online, I want you to realize that your work is bigger than a paycheck. The people that you interact with are more important than tolerating or whatever. These are the people that you're on the mission with. These aren't random circumstances. God has put you there with this group in these places for specific purposes. So we're called to go. Look at what happens. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, churchy people think, okay, yeah, this is this whole Jesus thing, right? So Jesus says, follow me, and so we go follow Jesus. And really what that means is, I believe in a certain amount of intellectual propositions about Jesus, like, you know, he's the Son of God, and he died on a cross, and he rose again on the third day. So I believe these things, and then I pray a prayer, and then that's it. Like, I'm in. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, follow me. And really what he's after is, wherever I'm going, I want you to come with me. Whatever I'm doing, that's what I want you to be doing. Whatever it is that I care about, that's what it is that I want you to care about. The people that I'm serving, those are the people that I want you to serve. The things that I'm doing, that's what I want you to join me in. The brokenness I'm restoring, that's what I want you to help me restore. So wherever I'm going, I want you to follow me there. I want you to do what I do. And I think Jesus knows that it was going to be hard, because it's hard. Are you with me? Sometimes following Jesus is hard, because it's going to cost you, right? You might have to take a different road, or you might have to leave friends or family, or maybe you have to leave a job, or maybe you've got to leave your comforts, or maybe sometimes you don't. Maybe it's really easy, but I think Jesus gets it. And that's why he says this to the person who says, I'm coming after you. He says, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, every creature in this creation has a place, but the Creator who made it, I got nowhere. Are you really sure you want to do this? There's a cost. Do you really want to come follow me? Do you really want to go where I go and do what I do and love who I love and care about what I care about? Because here's the thing. My mission, the place I'm going, is Jerusalem. And he tells the disciples this 3 times in the Gospel of Mark, in fact. He says, I'm going to die. And everybody goes, dude, why do you keep saying that? We don't like that part. I'm going to die. Stop. I'm going to die. No, Jesus, you're not. Here's the thing. You're going to wipe out the Romans, and our taxes are going to go down. And who does not want lower taxes? Come on, let's go. That's what you're going to do, Jesus. And Jesus keeps saying, follow me. Everything in creation, it's got a place, but I don't. But follow me. Go where I go. Do what I do. And when we hear the call to discipleship, our tendency, maybe it's just Americans, maybe it's because we're modern people. I think when we hear Jesus say, follow me, we think, well, come on down. You're the next contestant on Salvation Is Right. And that's not what he's saying. Follow me. Leave it all behind. Be willing to go where I go. Let's go. It's funny what we do with the call of Jesus, isn't it? It's conditional, transactional. Well, okay, I'll do this, but here's the thing. If there's a really late game on Saturday night, or like, I'll go so far, how about 50-mile radius? Or you can have most of my life, but this part, I'm going to kind of hang on to myself. Jesus says, there's no place for me here. The roads to Jerusalem, come after me. I love how Brennan Manning says in his book, Ruthless Trust, the struggle to trust God comes out of our own pain, our own suffering, and the evils we experience. One of my good friends says it like this. You don't really know whether or not you're a follower of Christ until you're tested in the crucible of suffering. And then you're going to find out what's in your heart. And that's part of what happens as Jesus is encountering these people as he's going on his mission to Jerusalem. First one, he says, follow me. And the person says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And he says, hey, I don't think you know what the cost is. Now look at what the second person, he says, now Jesus makes the call, follow me. And the person says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus says to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And what we tend to do is go, well, what they really meant was spiritually dead. Because Jesus wouldn't do that. This is hard. Can't go to a funeral? So are we not supposed to do funerals? Is that what we're after here? No. And look, realize in Jewish culture, when somebody died, huge deal. Like we go to the wake, right? I'm sorry. Then we leave and go to the Cracker Barrel. But when somebody died in Jesus' day, it was a 7-day process called Shiva. And so you sat with the person. You didn't talk to them unless they talked. The person was exempted from the commandments. They didn't have to pray. They just kind of sat there. The sons were usually responsible for the burial process and the funeral and so on and so forth. And so what Jesus is after is something really big. Leave the dead to bury their own dead. What are you really after? And look at what happens with the second person. Another says, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me first say bye-bye. And Jesus says to them, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So immediately we're left with all kinds of questions, aren't we? Like, is this really what he's after? Is this some kind of Greek thing, Brian? Is that what you're talking about here? And really it doesn't mean that, it means something else. Well, we're reminded of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, as the siege is being laid to Jerusalem, the Babylonians are at the front door. Ezekiel's wife dies. I mean, horrible tragedy, right? And notice what God says to Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, behold, I'm about to take the delight of your eyes away from you at a stroke, yet you shall not mourn or weep, nor shall your tears run down. Okay, well, you're not helping me because we have this whole let the dead bury their dead. What is it that you're really after here, Brian? The point is that sometimes there's a season in your life. And the call of following Jesus, the call of going, gets really hard. And it takes precedence over everything else. And that's not easy. Nobody puts his hand to the plow is fit for the kingdom of God. And I don't know about you, I worked on a farm for 2 summers. Anybody else ever done farm work? Wow. Plowing's hard work. And when you're plowing, I suppose there would be a lot better things in your rear view mirror or in your side view mirror than what's in front of you. And there's all kinds of distractions in life, aren't there? That looks better. What if we do this today instead? I know Jesus is going there, but boy, this thing that we did in the past, it was great. So let's do that again. And Jesus is saying, follow me. Follow me. He's testing what's in our heart. Look at what happens in both examples, the second and the third person. What do they call Jesus? The second person calls him, it's in yellow. And what does the third person call him? But is he really Lord? It's hard. Are you with me? I mean, this is hard. I can't do the funeral. I got to keep plowing. Like, what's the deal, Jesus? What is it that you really are after? And what he's after is our ruthless trust. That in all circumstances of life, following him, going comes first. Ruthless trust. See, our version tends to be, we want the thriving, we want the power, but we don't want the plow. Is there a way we can microwave that kind of spirituality? Like, can I get that in a minute? Do you got a book on that? Just give me a book, but not thick. Like, you know, one of the 110-page jobs and smaller, because that's better, because you got to read less words. You know what I'm talking about? Is there a Cliff Notes for that? Like, Can I just go to a 1 hour? No, wait, do you have a 20-minute YouTube on how I can get that kind of power? And what Jesus is saying is, man, put your hands to the plow. Come and follow me. And at some point, when you need it most, the power that you need most will be there. Because really what I want is the ruthless kind of trust in me. Ruthless trust in a God who is bigger than you are. Does God have your trust? Because when he's got it, you'll leave everything. You go to the other side of the world if you have to. The story's told about Dorothy Day, who is the radical Catholic missionary who served the poor and the homeless. And she gets this new priest. You know, I'm going to go and I'm going to do some mission stuff. We like to do some mission stuff here and there. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm going to go do this mission thing and it's going to last 2 hours. I don't want 2.5. I want 2. And Tuesday nights are best. So he goes and he does this mission stuff and he serves some people at a kitchen and, you know, he listens to them, attends to their needs. And so they start talking after the experience is over for this young priest. And Dorothy starts to tell the story to the young priest about Peter Claver, who is a missionary from the 1600s, and he believed that his mission, his going, was to serve slaves that had been abandoned. Quite literally left in chains to die. And so she tells the story of Peter Claver, who had some people who wanted to go and do some mission stuff for a night. And so the people come in, and they start to serve, and Peter says to them, hey, here's this man who's in his dying hours, and his flesh is rotting off his bones. And the stink fills the whole place, and they run. And Peter Claver yells, you mustn't go, you can't leave him. It is Jesus Christ. Ruthless trust. The power surge starts with the two-letter word, go. And it's not convenient or transactional or conditional or situational. Do you trust God enough to go where he's leading you? To follow him at all costs? And sometimes it's hard. You know, as I was putting this teaching series together, it was summertime. And I'll just be totally transparent with you. By the time I get to summer, I'm tired. Like, we've done the church year, we've done Lent. Woohoo, he's out of the tomb. Love it. I mean, it's all amazing, and I'm all in. But by the time I get to summer, I'm tired. And so vacation time had just started, and Luke and I were doing, you know, the 15 things that we're supposed to do on vacation. And we see this man who's outside of Kroger, and it's clear he's homeless. I mean, he's in rags, and he hasn't taken a shower in at least a week or more. And he looks thirsty, and he's pouring down buckets because it's 95 degrees in July, and that's what we do in Kentucky. And I know the story. I know what I'm supposed to do, right? It's Luke 10, and the goofballs are the ones like me, the priests and the Levites who go by on the other side of the road because we got stuff to do. And so I look at him, and I think, oh, Lord, but I got stuff to do. And my 12-year-old kid, Luke, goes, Dad. Yeah? Dad, we got to help him. I'm like, oh, Luke, somebody. He goes, Dad. I'm like, oh, gosh. His mission's just something that we do, right? So I stop. I'm like, Luke, it hurts, but you're so right. And we go to Kroger and we try to help the man the best that we can. And I thought, like, this is the issue. We want to do mission. And what we fail to recognize is we're on the mission. Are you with me? And that's why it's so hard. Because God puts in our place in our way, on our road, people every day. And what he says is, come follow me. And when you go to those places and see those people, you serve and love them as it were me, because I'm there. We're all about the power surge. And here's the promise. The promise is, if you want to experience thriving in life, it begins when you realize you're on a mission. And it starts with this: let's go. Church, I know we got lots of stuff going on right now, but this is what we can't lose sight of. The Blues Brothers had it right. We're on a mission from God, friends. Let's go. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that we want to do missions, and what we fail to recognize is that we're already on a mission. And we're on that mission when we follow you. And you lead us to places we could never possibly imagine, to interact with people that we would have never otherwise met. And yet what you ask us to do is to do what you do, to go where you go, to love who you love, to care about what you care about, to bleed and suffer for what you bled and suffer for. And so, Jesus, get a hold of our hearts. And as we sing our worship to you, we pray that you would strengthen us for this week, for the road ahead, to do one simple thing, two huge letters: go. We thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we give you our lives. And we pray this in and through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.